Good morning and welcome. We celebrate God's presence in our hearts and in our lives and in this place and one another. I actually don't have any announcements this morning. Are there any announcements that I should be aware of? Wow. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe that I have forgot, because I was so excited this week. We are receiving the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. And I remember from when I was a tween at Elfinwild, and we had these little fish, right? Little fish banks. Peggy has one. She's going to hold it up there. And they are the exact same thing. But it's not one of those bad things like, oh, nothing ever changes. It's like, when it's not broken, don't fix it. Because those are the coolest things that I still remember that from 40 years ago. So if you want to keep it in a little fish bank, you can get little fish banks on the table, or you can alternatively use an envelope. But that's boring. No, it's not. And if you want to make a check, just make sure to put in the memo for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. Thank you. Thank you, Peggy. Well, before we begin our call to worship, I invite us to just take a quiet breath. Lent is a journey, and it's one that leads us through reflection and hope toward the promise of Easter. And so we prepare our whole selves to meet God along the way. Please join me in our call to worship. Welcome to the weary and the worn. Welcome to the skeptical and the seeking.
Welcome to the early risers and those still trying to wake up.
Welcome to the rule followers and the rule breakers.
Welcome to those hungry for justice and those desperate for mercy.
Welcome to the sinners and the saints.
This is God's house.
You can make yourself at home here.
Let us worship our just, merciful,
and we invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of hymn number 301, All Are Welcome.
Oh,
May I just say, Mickey, thank you for choosing that hymn. I haven't heard that in many years. And I very remember when I heard it first. I was at St. Bonaventure Parish on Mount Royal. And we had a visiting Capuchin friar who came a lot and either loved Father Bob's messages or he didn't like him because he was pretty radical. And I remember he addressed this hymn, and it is, if you look in your hymnal, it's used usually for a church dedication. But he said it's important for us to remember that we rebuild the church every day. And that is a beautiful, beautiful hymn. Yes, all are welcome. Let us pray together our prayer for transformation and new life. Oh God, we love to live our lives by the rules. We love clear answers. We love right and wrong. We love swift justice. We love to pick up stones, but you show us another way. We welcome shades of gray and nuanced conversation. You prioritize mercy over legality. You prioritize people over tradition. You prioritize love over everything. Forgive us for losing sight of what really matters. Forgive us for clinging tighter to laws than to each other or to you. Soften our hearts. Root us in mercy, justice, and love. With hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Amen. God's beloved, our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of compassion. Our God is a God of grace. We are forgiven, loved, and invited to choose another way. Thanks be to God for yet another second chance. Amen.
To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And let us share together one expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's love and peace.
On this Lord's Day, we gather to worship and to pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our loved ones and friends. We pray for the world. God calls us to this. Let us begin with a moment of silence as we bring our private prayers and then to be led in our public pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that you watch over us and that you hear every prayer. Hear our prayers as we come before you on this beautiful Lord's Day. Hear the prayers of those who are crying in pain in their heart. Hear the prayers of those who are weeping with grief into the night. Hear the prayers of those who are silent and lonely. God of everlasting love, heal our pain. Restore our lives. Mend every broken heart. And lead us. We cannot make this path on our own. We cannot get through this life on our own. We cannot see ahead to where we need to go alone. Lead us. And lead us especially through the dark valleys. Lead us through times of trouble and distress. Lead us to our home with you. And teach us. We have so much we need to learn. We have so many mistaken and false ideas that need to be adjusted, given up, amended. We cannot teach ourselves. Teach us. Teach us to listen to your voice. Teach us to follow when your voice speaks the way we should go. So we pray for our world. We pray for a world in conflict and pain. Mothers and fathers who woke up this morning without a child next to them. People without a home, living in tents, hungry. Bless our world and bring us your peace. We pray for those people in our lives that we see every day, but whose names we don't even know. We see them on a train or bus or elevator or bank or in the supermarket somewhere. We don't even know their name, but we pray you will bless them according to their need and make us ever ready to offer a listening ear, a loving heart. We pray for the young starting out in life. Guide them. Show them your way. We pray for adults who, in the midst of their lives, find less than meaning in their career or their marriage or their family. Lead us to see that only you can satisfy our deepest need. Gather the lost into your loving arms. And today we are here to give up some things. We are here to learn how to give up harsh words for generous words. We are here to give up unhappiness and take up gratitude. We are here to give up our anger and take up gentleness and patience. We are here to give up pessimism and take up hope. We are here to give up our worrying ways and take up trust in you. We are here to give up complaining and to value what you have and what you offer. We are here to give up our stress and take up prayer. God, we are here to give up judging others as if we knew in our minds and hearts what they've gone through, the pain that they have suffered, the rejection that has come their way. We do not have the mind or the heart, the ability to judge any living person. So we give up judging today so that we can discover Jesus within them. Oh God, we are yours. We are yours totally. We belong to no other. Body and soul. Body and soul. We belong to you. And so in faith, believing, we offer our prayers of silence and our spoken prayers. And we bring them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, who taught disciples who follow him to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let us rise again in body or spirit and sing our hymn of meditation, Our Father, We Have Wandered. be seated as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering. The author, creator of all in this world, everything belongs to you, and we return a portion of the blessings that we receive so that they may be used for the good of all of your creation. Amen. Just about today's scripture, it is a story that many of us have heard. It might be familiar to many of us, but interestingly enough, it never appears in the Revised Common Lectionary. So this is the first time I've ever preached on it, and we'll see what happens. But it's a wonderful story. You may know it.
Good morning. It's a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Well, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with a woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." A reading from the Word.
I invite you to pray with and for me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm a noisy person. I am. I've been told by many people that I'm the noisiest and the messiest person they've ever met in their whole life. I know that. I am always talking to myself. I'm always talking. And sometimes I will say to myself, out loud, of course, why are you always talking? But this week, I was singing. And I wonder if you're familiar with this song. I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widow wife who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High. You remember that one?
Yeah.
All right, that one there. And the song goes on. If you want, I'll continue. Kidding. A daughter, she comes home from school, and she gives her mom a note, and it's from the Harper Valley PTA, informing the mother that there are rumors all around about her. She's wearing her skirts way too high. She's running around with men. And so Mrs. Johnson goes that afternoon to the meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. And they were sure surprised when she wore her mini skirt into the room. And you remember what the widowed mother says? Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he's asked me for a date. And she goes on and she addresses everybody in the Harper Valley PTA and names some of their less than redeeming habits. I mean, shouldn't Mrs. Widow Jones be told to keep her window shades all pulled completely down? She should. We've heard Peggy read the scripture today, and can you see why I've been driving everyone crazy singing this song this week? Because if you just take a quick look at the scripture, we see a little patent place in the temple area in Jerusalem. The scribes and the Pharisees, they have caught a woman red-faced in the act of adultery, and they bring her to Jesus. I don't know why they didn't bring the guy. I mean, I'm pretty sure you need two people to commit adultery. I'm sure it wasn't intentional. But what makes it even worse, the way they treated this woman, is you see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they really don't much care what this woman did or didn't do. She might have been the one with one of them. No, they brought her to Jesus, and they gathered everyone around, and she was just part of the object lesson. You ever seen a children's story, a children's sermon, where somebody will bring an egg and say, this egg is just like the Trinity? It's not, but an object lesson. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were really all about trapping Jesus. They asked him that lose-lose question. The law says you should stone her. What do you say? But they've been watching Jesus for a while, and they knew, especially if they brought the woman right to him, they knew he was not going to follow the law and say, yes, stone her. And as soon as he does that, well, he's in trouble. Because that's the law. But Jesus, what does the story say? But he doesn't answer. He gets down and he starts writing something on the ground with his finger. And have you ever wondered why he did this? What was he writing? Was it the name of the man with whom she committed adultery? Was it some of their names with a little sin or two next to their name? What I discovered, though, is that most scholars think that Jesus was really doing kind of what we do today. I admit I've done it. When somebody is talking to you about something and you don't really want to listen and you don't care, all of a sudden you got to check your text messages. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Right? I'm paying attention. Or you start, this is a good time to pick the pills off my sweater. Right. Jesus isn't concerned. But they keep going. Come on, Jesus, tell us, give us an answer. And he keeps playing Candy Crush on his phone. When finally he stands up and he says, okay, you who have not sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone at her. Do you know the old joke about that? Jesus has just said to the crowd, you without sin cast the first stone. And all of a sudden a woman comes out of the crowd and she hurls a stone at the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus turns around and says, Mom, you are not making this any easier. But no, one by one, we read the older, hopefully wiser, scribes and Pharisees, they drop their stones and go away. And that's when Jesus says, who's left to condemn you? Neither do I. Go and change your heart and your life. In addition to being noisy and messy, I'm also a bit of a martyr. And every time I've read this story, I put myself in the position of the woman, brought before the public, ready to be stoned to death, and deserving it because I'm always falling short. But then saying, thank you, Jesus, I am forgiven. And that's still me failing and asking for forgiveness many times over. But this week, I put myself in the sandals of the Pharisee. Because as much as I hate to admit it, I have carried many, many stones with me. I've held on to grudges so tightly. And I've thought of little revenge plots for hurts done to me. And I wanted to hurl that stone to the person who did me wrong. And I'll tell you, that stone, it gets heavy. I wonder if any of us, if we have a stone that we're saving for that person, that institution, because something was done to us that we can't get let go of. And we love a chance just to hurl that baby and make things right, even though it wouldn't. So that's why everybody has a stone today. It's a little exercise that I picked up from Bishop Desmond Tutu, and some of you who were in our book group when we read his book on forgiving, Bishop Tutu and his daughter Mope, who wrote a book, and they suggest when you want to begin the path of forgiving, pick up a stone. If you have a stone that you're still holding in your heart and you think maybe today is the day that you can let it go, leave it outside in the parking lot today. Maybe you can't yet. Maybe you can leave it when you get home, or maybe you can leave it a month from now or a year. But try. Because letting go of that stone, it can be a life changer. There's a young woman I work with at one of my places of work. Not here, so you don't have to look around. But But she is a lovely young woman. And she has carried a heavy, heavy grudge for something that was awful. Three cousins, two of them went out one night and they drank heavily, and one got behind the wheel and had an accident, and the other cousin who wasn't driving, she was killed. And so my coworker, she could not let the horrible pain go. She was on the local news saying, "I will never forgive my cousin who drove." And for years, she did not. We hadn't run into each other for about 6 months. And when I saw her again, she looked different. She was somehow lighter, brighter. I don't know. She was a lovely young woman before, but this time she had a different aura. And then the next time we kept seeing each other and we're catching up, she had told me that she had forgiven her cousin who was now out of prison. And I wonder if maybe the difference in her presence was that she was finally able to let down that impossibly heavy stone. And I know it's hard. And there is no way that we can do it alone. But we don't need to. Our tender, tender God will cover our hands and we will put the stones down together. May it be so. I invite you to please rise with me as we sing our final hymn, "Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days."
Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those who you love, and all those who erroneously believe that no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.